I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the Trailer Booking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. It is season 13, it's episode 44, and we're in a bit of a somber mood. Well, I am, because my good, an old friend, Huey Southern, passed away on Saturday. He'd been ill for a little time. He'd suffered from COPD and asthma for quite a while, and insomnia, etc. We don't know if he then had a heart attack. We're waiting for the coroner to tell us. But he passed away at home peacefully on Saturday, which was, the 22nd or the 23rd of March. Just weeks before his 80th birthday, he was 79, he was due to be 80 on the 3rd of May, but he never quite got there. Tonight with me is Nigel Khan. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Yeah, I didn't actually load the shed man jingle, but just pretend it's there.
shed man, there you go.
And look, you met Huey a few times as well, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I wrote a tribute this morning on Clarence Hugh, and I just thought I'd tell you about it because Hugh was, and look, Hugh told me about a bit of his history, and funny enough, when I found out, I was in Hastings, and I spoke to his daughter Katie, and the next day I was in Tunbridge, Wales, because we were away with my stepdaughter.
Tunbridge,
Wales, yes. Mm. Having a Sunday lunch. And that's where he was born. So 3rd of May 1944, he was born in Tunbridge, Wales. That's where his original home was. He attended Huntley School for Boys. In his own words, he had an unremarkable education. But he decided at that age he was determined to be a journalist, and you know, his teachers told him he was wasting his time, and he would never become a journalist. And I remember him telling me, and look, these are in his own words, because he started his journalistic career at the Peterborough Evening Telegraph as a news reporter. He moved on to there to become assistant sports editor and Peterborough United correspondent, which is where he met Barry Fry. Within 2 years, he'd become a very good friend and a ghostwriter for the manager and former West Ham player, Noel Cantwell. He was an ex-Man United player as well, wasn't he, Nigel?
Yeah, so Noel Cantwell was West Ham in the 50s. Up until 58, I think, after the Munich disaster, he was one of the players bought to help rebuild Man United, and then went on to captain Man United, I believe.
Yeah, and then he became a manager.
He did indeed, yes.
For Peterborough. Peterborough, yeah. So that,
yeah, he was Peterborough manager, yeah.
So he started Ghost Riding then, and then he sort of became a Fleet Street journalist. And, you know, he often tells and told me of those old days, you know, too much drink. Used to drink a lot, used to smoke a lot, which is probably why, you know, he ended up in his later years with COPD and bad asthma. But he became teetotal in later years and found religion from those old days of Fleet Street, where, you know, the reputation of Fleet Street went with it. So he was a Fleet Street national journalist. He was a freelancer. He was a sub-editor. Worked pretty much on every red top paper there was. He'd been a reporter, match reporter or sports news reporter for The Sun, The Daily Express, The Daily Star, The Sunday Mirror, The News of the World, The Daily Sport, The Sunday Sport and The Guardian. And it's interesting that then he joined The Sunday Sport, owned by David Sullivan. And he worked directly for David Sullivan, where he became the ghostwriter for the late, great Bobby Moore. And he always told me he formed a really close friendship with Bobby Moore, who was always his favourite player. And he used to tell me, he said, you know, when he met with David Sullivan, David Sullivan always used to say to him, down, down, because Huey was very loud. And he would motion, can't see it because I'm doing this but on a podcast, would motion a volume control down, down, because Huey was too loud. And that was a relationship that he would later pick up later in life. After he sort of retired from, you know, being a freelancer on the national papers, he wanted something else to do because he knew the papers were dying, and he founded, without really knowing too much about technology, WordPress blog, which he called Claret and You. That was in 2013. About a year later, he used to talk to me and he asked me to join in 2014 as his associate editor. And the rest, they say, is history. You know, he turned that blog into one of the, probably the premier news site of West Ham, you know, where everybody went in those days for their West Ham news. And, you know, he did very well, you know, where he didn't have a pension. And this turned out to be quite a profitable pension for him. He worked tirelessly. He worked 7 days a week. He worked maybe up to 100 hours. He would wake up at like 8 in the morning and start penning his first article, and he'd still be doing it at 10 o'clock at night, and then he'd do the same thing over and over again. And certainly when I worked with him, keeping up with him, you know, a man in his 70s was a very hard thing to do. But with him, I met a lot of people. He had a really good contact book, and you're going to hear from some of them later. People like Harry Redknapp, people like Barry Siltman, people like Tony Cotti. You know, he knew all the journalists there were, and he knew all the contacts there were in the industry. You know, and one thing Huey was right, he would never give up. Right, in the pursuit of a story, and you know this, Nigel, he would never give up in the pursuit of a story. So, you know, if someone would doorstop someone, if someone would not answer the phone or go, I'm not talking to you, he would give up. He would just keep on ringing them until they gave in, and he'd get his story. He was relentless in his pursuit of the story, and that's what you need. That's what you need from a journalist. And he was really good friends with David Gold, who obviously passed away as well. They were really good buddies and spoke for hours on the end, toward the end of David Gold's life as well. No secret, he was a friend of David Sullivan as well, and lots of other people at West Ham. And you know what? He even though he was quite ill, he carried on. And last Tuesday, he wrote his last article. He penned his article last Tuesday. About a story about James Ward-Prowse, And after that, he sort of said, oh, I'm a bit too ill to carry on. And Gonzo, who you're going to hear from later, started writing and said, well, I'll hold the fort. And I had a chat with him last week, and he said to me, oh, I'm feeling iller than I've ever felt before. And I said, don't worry, you know, you'll get past it. He said, no, I don't think so, not this time. And it looks like he knew. He knew his time was up. And he seemed to have a premonition. He had just commissioned a portrait by Canning Town Len, which he received just last month and hung up in his flat in Rugby. And I do strongly believe, and I was talking to his daughter yesterday, saying he seemed to know his time was up, which is very sad. So, you know, rest in peace, Huey. I know he was really big, believed in religion. His wife died, who'd had some stroke a few years ago, Sandra, and I'm sure he thinks that he's with her now. His daughter, Katie, his first daughter, Michelle, Shelley, and his two grandchildren, Caitlin and Josh. And we're thinking all of you at the moment. And we don't quite know when the funeral is. We're keeping in contact with the family. And once the coroner issues a death certificate, etc., then we'll let everybody know. I know quite a few people have said they want to go along, and the family said more the merrier. And so we'll give some details out when we know. But I thought tonight could be a bit of a tribute to Huey, who touched so many people's lives. I tweeted out something on Saturday night, and I think that's been read by 120,000 people, and had some messages from people like Henry Winter from The Times, Dan Silver, another well-known journalist, Jacob Steinberg, to name but a few. Sam Incosol, who was at Football London, who you'll hear from later. John T. Coleman, who was another one who took over from Sam Incosol. You know, he touched so many lives. And you know what? You'd be so chuffed that so many people were saying so many nice things about him. Because, you know, he could be difficult at times. He would agree himself. He could be difficult, you know. And sometimes he would rub people up the wrong way. And he'd have disagreements. But you know what? He did everything for a reason. He was always there to really get a story, and if you stood in his way of a story, often you came out worse. So, Nigel, I know just to talk to, I know you've met him a couple of times, and I sent you a picture of us together. Actually, I don't think we're doing cross hammers at the time, were we? Well, you certainly weren't.
I don't ever, but yeah,
don't ever. But okay,
yeah. I bumped into him walking out of the station, wasn't it? I think he was waiting to meet you.
Yeah.
And walked along. Obviously, first came across... I think the first time I've come across Hugh, I told you, it was on the KUMB podcast.
Oh, yeah.
This was done by Chris Skull and his mate Longers. And I remember going in. They recorded in a studio in Soho. And I went along. And did a show with them, and they had Hugh on, and I think then he was just running a Twitter account. So this was this is like 2011, 2012, pre Claret and Hugh days, pre website.
Yeah.
And he was obviously well connected with Golden Sullivan, and his information was generally decent. I think the fan base at that point still respected him a lot with what he had to say. So, and I think he had a regular slot on their podcast, giving them a roundup of any info that he had. Jump forward a few years. I think I do remember actually him reaching out to you for help.
He did, yeah.
With the website,
yeah.
And thinking, blimey. Wonder where that will go. And now we know where it went. But obviously, it evolved. I was then you got me writing for Clarit and Hugh as well.
Oh, you did, didn't you? You did write quite a few articles. I thought you might want people to forget that, Nigel.
No. Look, the articles are there. I'm always proud of everything I write. Me and Hugh would talk. We had quite a good relationship to begin with. I did, especially at the time, he probably continued, loved the horse racing.
Yeah.
We both loved the Rolling Stones.
We loved West Ham United. Yeah. And the Labour Party, that was his other love, right? Politics, yeah, Labour Party. I was the complete opposite. You know?
Yes, yeah.
Being an atheist, not liking horse racing, being a conservative, you couldn't get more poles apart, but yeah.
No, and he was a proper socialist. And we had good chats about that. But obviously, you know, look, I ain't going to hide the fact we hadn't spoken for a couple of years. He was a journalist, didn't it? And you know, these journalists, I suppose, all we see is the story. And what we never pay attention to is how they go and get the story.
Yeah.
And perhaps with the realisation, and when I peer, all I like to say is sometimes when you peer behind the door, you think, no, I'll shut that one. But I mean, always had great, had some great chats with him about Cheltenham with the horse racing in years gone by. And he was a long-standing West Ham fan. He knew his history. And he always encouraged me to do any history stuff. And he would stick up for me. You know, I used to get a bit of stick sometimes with what I used to write back then. You know, because that was back in the days, wasn't it? Before the move, when, you know, the club was looking forward to moving into the stadium. And then there was a bloke saying, ooh, not sure about this. And I used to get a bit of grief. But he always stuck up for me. So it was good times back then.
Yeah, I mean, look, he made no secret of his hatred for Sam Allardyce, which is something you shared with him, and he made no secret of his hatred for David Moyes.
Yeah,
and we were just talking about this, and. You know, just a week ago, so you know, when it passed, obviously Dave Moyes is still in charge. So if what he believes, that he's looking down at us, then maybe he'd be still willing on for a change this summer. But you know, I think what he would have seen in the 120,000 people that read the tweet. Everyone seemed to know that Hugh had passed, and I think hundreds and hundreds of retweets and likes and messages support from Twitter. I did one on Facebook again, hundreds of likes and messages, and it's been similar. You know, ex-West Ham employee did a tribute, and I did one on Clarence Hugh this morning as well, and it just, you know, no one's got an ill word to say about him and just his reach. He would have been really chuffed, you know, he was that well known, because I think sometimes he thought, you know, people saw him as a bit of a, you know, someone who, you know, had his day, but sort of wasn't very relevant anymore. And, you know, he found it tricky. He had a season ticket, but he found it tricky to get to games. You know, he suffered from anxiety, and he suffered from illness, and therefore travelling from rugby to the games was difficult. He made a few games last year, but he renewed his season ticket again this year. He was in row six of Billy Bond's, or he still is. He's still got that seat, but didn't manage to make any games. And we were just talking about him making the last game of the season and meeting up on the last game of the season this season. But it was not to be. But look, it was actually your idea, Nigel, to say, well, why don't we reach out to a few people that we know that knew him and ask them to some voice notes. And do you know what? Everybody I asked said yes. So, you know,
the thing about it for me is, you know, we know it was probably Marmite, Claret yeah. and Hugh.
Yeah.
But it was the first dedicated West Ham news website. There hadn't one been yeah. like that beforehand. And it grew to be the biggest at the time. Probably yeah. still is. I don't yeah. know. I don't pay attention. But, you know, when you look at it, so that was all built off of the back of, you know, obviously you, but Hugh's hard work in being able to get a story out.
Yeah. You're right.
And, you know, it sort of set the tone, realistically, for in the past decade, as it's been now, isn't it? 11 years, Claret and Hugh. You know, to still be in the position it's in, you've only got to admire it. And you got to yeah. you know, tip your hat to the part that Hugh played in those of us that lived the West Ham social media bubble. Like, he was a big part of it, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was. He was. Yeah, you're right. It's, 2013. So 11 years.
11 years, yeah.
You know, and at one point we were doing hundreds of thousands a day in the transfer window. That's when the big stories were. You know, I remember the first time we hit 100,000, one story that got 100,000. You know, that's the big moments. And the first time we hit 1 million visits in a month, and then 2 million, you know, and then 3 million, you know. So
that's what I'm saying.
It was new, you know. It was an exciting time.
And it was, isn't it? And I suppose for me, when I looked at, you know, some of the big hitter journalists that were replying to your tweet on Sunday,
yeah,
perhaps that show, you know, we all have our vision of what we thought Hugh was, but I think that actually showed his standing as a journalist. And, you know, I've heard, you know, we'll hear Tony Cotty's message and everything, and how far back that relationship's been.
Yeah, when you know, he helped him with his career to begin
yeah.
with.
Yeah, so it you know, and I suppose in a way, I don't know, you know, he worked at the Sport, but, you know, he became Bobby Moore's ghostwriter, and obviously to do that, a friend of Bobby Moore as well. And that must have been a dream come true.
Well, funny shit, I'll give you a quote from David Sullivan. So I obviously reached out to David Sullivan on Saturday night to tell him, and he said, oh, that's, you know, it's very sad, you know, he'd be missed by us all.
Is that all he said?
It is what he said. Oh. But what I asked him tonight, just before I came on, because I don't think I can get David Sullivan to send a voice note. I've got everyone else send a voice note, even Harry Redknapp, but I couldn't get David Sullivan to send a voice note. And I said, well, do you want to say anything about your memories of Huey? And he said, just say he was so good with Bobby Moore on the Sunday Sport, ghost in his column, and how close they were to each other. Mm-hmm. I found him a very passionate man who cared about West Ham United deeply. He's a man of few words, is our chairman. But, you know, it's nice that, you know, they did have a friendship. They didn't just... They talked about horse racing. In fact, you know, you probably know David Sullivan owns some racehorses.
Yeah.
There's a clue in some of the people you'll talk tonight know Harry Redknapp owns racehorses. David Sullivan owns racehorses. And so does Barry Silkman, who you're going to hear from later as well. You know, there was that love of racing, and they would talk about racing, and they would talk about, sometimes they would talk about religion, and sometimes they would talk about the Rolling Stones, you know.
But he had that trust, and he trusted him.
Yeah, he did. He did. And so did David Gold. You know, he was very close to David Gold. And you know, David Gold could be quite lonely at the end, and they would talk, and so could Huey be, and they would talk for hours, you know, about nothing, not always about West Ham. They would talk for a long time, just reminiscing and talking about stuff. So, you know, if there's one thing I'm going to miss, you know, we talked on a regular basis, it will be those early morning chats. You know, in the old days, I used to, on my time onto the way I work, I'd always call Huey in the morning, and we'd have a sort of editor's meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and have a little chin wag every time, and you know, so, and he was just getting out of bed at that time of the morning. Later on, it was 9 o'clock, but it's still, and you know, I miss it. It hasn't really sunk in yet that I can't talk to him. I can't ask him stuff. Yeah. He taught me a lot. What I hope is I taught him a lot about business, and I taught him a lot about IT. What he taught me about is journalism and that killer instinct to get a story. I know you'll say something else, to write like a Sun newspaper reporter, but you know, it was a proven success. It was a proven formula, because people want brevity. They don't want 1,000 word. They don't want the long read. They don't want the 1,000 word article. You know, our articles were snappy. As you know, 150 words was always our target.
I know. It's,
but give people what they want, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bit like, if you remember the Sunday Sport days, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who didn't read World War II bomber found on moon, right? Who didn't buy a copy of that?
Me.
All right. Well, and then the next week, World War II bomber disappears from moon, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. No, I suppose the paper, I did buy the Sport when it first started, expecting to find sport in it.
Oh, so, there's your problem.
So indirectly, I probably did read some of Hugh's early stuff. Because obviously Bobby Moore was there, I think, at the start. And then at the end of the day, they were the people that gave Bobby Moore a job when football turned its back.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I suppose in a way it's an end of an era. And it's a lesson to us all. It's a shame, in a way, I always find it a shame sometimes that perhaps he didn't put down some of his stories to audio.
So he hasn't put down, and I was talking to Russ, DJ Russie, Budden, and I said, did you ever do a My Hammer's 11? He didn't. So, you know, I don't think he wasn't really comfortable talking on camera. It was a bit self-conscious, but he did a few podcasts with us on this podcast, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
I'll have to look up the episode.
He was on the KUMB podcast.
Yeah, and he's certainly... And I spoke to Graham Howlett earlier, for those who don't know. That's the founder of KUMB. And do you know what? And you might think they were competitors.
They got on well.
They got on really well. Yeah. And I was talking to Graham. I obviously told Graham over the weekend, and we've been talking today. And again, what everybody tells me is exactly what I already knew, which is, you know, they were friends first and talked about everything but West Ham first, and then did their business afterwards, you know? Yeah. For those who believe that maybe, you know, it's all very competitive in the West Ham social media world and et cetera, that's not always the case, you know? It's sometimes that we are actually, we get on with each other.
We do at times, Sean, don't we?
We do, don't we? We do. Anyway, maybe we can run through. I've got some clips, and as I said, I spoke to Nigel's idea to do some voice notes, and I didn't know how well it would do. And I could have asked a lot more people, and I'm sure they would have said yes. But I got time to ask 12 people, and 11 of them could work it out, right? The other one was David Sullivan, who couldn't quite work it out. But the other 11 sent me voice notes straight away. And just to run through who you're going to be hearing from. So Tony Cotty was a good friend of his. You're going to hear from him. Harry Redknapp. I knew Hughie very well. Barry Siltman, the agent and former player. Paul Stringer, ex-head of media and now at the Premier League, sent me a voice note tonight. Gonzo from Hammers Chat, who's currently helped running Clarence Hugh. David Blackmore from Blowing Bubbles also will talk from his experience, and he used to write for Blowing Bubbles. Ex-West Ham employee also gave me a voice note. Leon Hyde, who was the ex-West Ham DJ at Upton Park sent me one. John Rutomsky of Iron Supporting Food Banks also sent me a little voice note. And Sam Ingersoll, the journalist who used to run Football London and then went to the Racing Post, and they've got a great love of horses as well. And last but not least, we had to ask Dodsey as well, who you know, met Hugh from time to time. So I thought it would be a nice tribute just to play some of these. And I thought we'll start with old Harry. So this is what Harry said when I spoke to him earlier.
So sorry to hear about Huey. What a great character. Loved the Hammers. Big West Ham man. Always enjoyed chatting to him about West Ham. And he loved the club, especially his favourite all-time player, like most of us, would have been Bobby Moore. But rest in peace, Huey. He was a one-off.
There you go. Harry Redknapp. I'm going to move on to Tony Cotty. This is what Tony had to say.
Hi everyone, it's Tony Cotty here, and I just wanted to say how sad I was to wake up to the news that Huey had passed away on Sunday morning. Huey was someone that I've known for many, many years, going right back to the 1980s in his time at the Daily Star. Obviously, I was playing for West Ham and then Everton at the time, and we developed quite a really good working relationship. And I always respected him, and he always used to ring me up for little bits of information. Our relationship continued right through my time up until retirement and into the 21st century. I only spoke to him about 2 or 3 months ago. Last time I spoke to him, wasn't aware that he was ill, which is a real shame. Didn't get a chance to speak to him again. But yeah, rest in peace, Huey. And one thing's for sure, the both of us will always have one thing in common. We're both passionate West Ham fans.
So that was nice from TC. The next person, and quite an emotional tribute, in fact, is the agent Barry Siltman. And Barry was, who did Barry play for, Nigel?
When I watched him, Orient, but yeah. He also played for Palace, Man City as well. Yeah. He played for about 6 or 7 clubs, but did he? They're the big clubs that that I remember. I think he played in the 1981 Cup Final against Spurs. But I remember him from playing over the Orient.
And Barry, like lots of people, you know, the currency in journalists is mobile numbers, as Nigel will know. And at one point he asked, you know, probably Tony Cotty or someone for Barry's number. And he would talk to a number of agents. And they just really struck it off and became good friends because Barry owns a number of horses, as does Harry Redknapp, etc. And they became great friends. And you're going to hear from Barry now, which I think is quite an emotional tribute.
Well, what can I say about Huey?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I don't know where to start. I don't think I could say everything because I'll be on this message for an hour. I've known Huey a few years now, met him through West Ham, as I would think 99% of people in recent years have. He had a really good knowledge of football. I was surprised when I first spoke to him. I was really surprised about the knowledge he had. And he came across as someone, not only with really good knowledge, he came across to me as someone that if you told him something privately, it would stay private. If you told him he could print it, he would print it. And he would print it in his own words, but it would be almost identical to the way that you would write it if you were writing it, if that makes sense. He was a lovely guy. Apart from work, I mean, work comes secondary with me. First thing is a person. And if I meet people, speak to people, and I don't think they're very nice people, I have nothing to do with them. I absolutely loved Huey. He asked me a lot about football, about things with West Ham to do with players that I was involved with, Souček, Pakatar, Ogbonna. He had a very opinionated reasoning on football and about players. But I've got to tell you, I found that 19 times out of 20, I would be agreeing with him. He was a real lovely guy. We had far more in common than football. We had horse racing in common. And I used to say to Huey, you know, I've got to tell you something, Huey, we're very, very similar. He said, what? I said, we both want West Ham to do really well, and we both can't back a winner. He couldn't stop laughing. And it's such a sad day when I received the call the other day to say that Huey had passed away. I will miss his banter. I will miss our conversations. I will miss meeting up with him. I will miss our phone calls. I will miss our rapport. I will miss our love for football. I will miss our love for horse racing. And generally, like me, he loved life and he loved people, and he wouldn't take falls very lightly. He was very similar to me in that fashion. And the best thing I can say about Huey, apart from being a lovely man, he was very honest, very truthful. And as in all relationships, be it with a wife, with a girlfriend, with a friend, there's one word that without that word, you never have that relationship. And the word is trust. And I found from day one when I met Huey, I could trust him. And you know, he never, ever let me down. And I hope during our time being friends, both on and off the football side, I never let him down. And Huey, wherever you are, I hope you're having a great time. And I'm sure you'll still be supporting the Hammers. And you'll still be wanting to win every game. And you'll still be moaning about the tactics when it goes wrong. Huey, I love you, mate. Wherever you are, rest in peace. And may God bless you.
That's a great message, isn't it? From Barry. Good old Silky. Next up, good friend of yours, Nigel.
Yeah.
Paul Stringer.
That was quite emotional, though, wasn't it?
It was. It was. I think they were really good friends. And they, you know, Barry can talk, and they used to talk for hours, is what Huey always used to tell me. But I reached out to Paul Stringer. For those who don't know who Paul Stringer is, Paul Stringer was the head of the media at West Ham. And we had our funny games, Nigel, myself and Huey with Paul. And but there was a love-hate relationship. And, you know, his job was to stop us getting the stories. You know, it was the early days of social media where he thought his job was to stop us running the stories before the official site or the club announced it. And he was trying to find his feet. And it was our job to you know, circumvent the media department. So the days that, you know, myself, Huey, or even Nigel used to get calls going, you can't run that. You can't do this. But do you know what? We actually got on really well. And, you know, I've stayed in touch with Paul. He's actually at the Premier League now. He does a very important job looking after the image rights holders.
Match balls, isn't it? He puts the match balls up.
Don't say that. He'll be listening. He'll be listening, Nigel. But this is what
have
Paul
they promoted him. Then?
This is what Paul not... has to, what Paul String had to say.
Hello, Sean. I was really sad at the weekend when you called me to let me know the news about Huey. I haven't spoken to him for a little while, but obviously I dealt with him really closely during my time at West Ham, and he was a good guy. He cared deeply about the club, and every dealing you had with him, it was very obvious how much the club meant to him, his history, his links to Bobby Moore and the work he did with him, and also the owners, David Sullivan and David Gold, and both with Hugh and now David Gold gone as well. It feels like a bit of an end of the era. I mean, when I worked with him, he was always fair and reasonable. And made my job interesting when he knew more about what was going on than me. He called me for comment. But yeah, as I say, he really always had West Ham at his heart, and he cared deeply about the club, and he'll be dearly missed by everybody. So good answers to his family, and catch up soon. Cheers.
You used to get on with Paul, didn't you?
Yeah, obviously he was out pumping the balls up this morning.
That'd be horrible. He's got a really important job.
I got on well with Paul.
Next up, ex-West Ham employee. And you know, I mean, in some ways, you know, that's... Huey was the original ITK, and I think that's a word you've used, which I've plagiarised, Nigel. And when I spoke to X this morning, and look, he'll explain, you know, we actually talk all the time. You know, Huey, myself, X, and the other content makers around West Ham, we're actually good friends with each other, and this is what X had to say.
I was gutted to hear of the sad passing of Hugh Southern this weekend. He's someone I'd known ever since I started the ex-WHU employee account. He was clearly the most knowledgeable and informed West Ham source at the time. So I reached out and offered the fact that I knew a few people and that perhaps we could work together on getting stories for West Ham fans. And that's essentially what we did over the years. We sort of used to message each other, call each other up and swap things that we'd heard and piece it together and try and get a story out there, an accurate story for West Ham fans, and that's what we prided ourselves on. And Hugh had a wide range of contacts that he'd built up over the years, people that trusted him. I mean, the fact that he was Bobby Moore's ghost writer for 3 years, I think, shows credit of the contacts he had and how much proper West Ham people put faith in his reliability and his trustworthiness and his ability to make good stories and articles and so on. And you know, it's very, very sad to lose him from the West Ham community, because sole purpose of Hugh's work was to get those stories to West Ham fans and be the first to report them and to be the most accurate as well. And alongside that, his drive to do that was obviously his competitive journalism background and his pride in his work, but also the fact that he was doing it to support his family too. And it's a credit to the man that almost upon his 80th birthday, he was still working as hard as he was to try and bring in income to support his children and his grandchildren and so on. And you know, he was a good man. Him and I clashed at times, I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I found his style different to how I would approach situations, and maybe there was an element of competitiveness between the two of us where we did clash at times, but we always made peace. And certainly for the last couple of years we've been on very good terms. We'd speak regularly. And so much as I think I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about David Moyes, and you know, he wants a bit of help with an article and I was getting some info from him, and we were talking about the joys of social media, and that's another thing I'll miss about Hugh. You know, he was, you know, took a stick, as did I, as do I, across many platforms, and you know, it used to affect me probably a lot more than it did, and a lot more for speaking to Hugh. Hugh used to tell me ways to sort of deal with it and ignore it and so on, and I learned a lot from that from him, and I learned a lot from how he would be able to piece stories together as well. So he's very good at what he did, very passionate West Ham fan, a family man, and an all-round nice guy. So it's a big loss to the West Ham community that he has passed, and I send all my best wishes to anyone that knew him, his family and close friends particularly.
There you go. Next up, David Blackmore. For those of you who don't know who David Blackmore is, he produces the fanzine Blowing Bubbles.
Magazine.
Magazine, is it? What's the difference between a magazine and a fanzine, then? Educate.
Fanzines are written by fans.
I thought most of the people who write it are fans.
I'm being facetious.
All right, right. Okay. This is what
I would say it's a magazine rather than a fanzine.
I think he does call it a magazine. Yeah. This is what David had to say.
To me, Huey was absolutely one in a million and such a huge supporter of Blowing Bubbles over the years. We first got to know each other, well, it was coming up to a decade because we were just talking about it a month or so ago. At the time, I was looking for some promotion for Blowing Bubbles and we just hit it off from the very start. I think it helped by the fact that we're both journalists and we both come from a newspaper background. And it took a couple of years of gently persuading Huey, but eventually in 2017, I managed to persuade him to start writing the last word, the final word in our magazine. And I was always blown away month after month at how his piece would perfectly sum up what was in that month's issue. You know, he always was able to hit the nail on the head in terms of the mood of the fans at that very moment. Sometimes I wouldn't even tell him what was in that month's issue. He just always had such a great finger on the pulse. And as I say, he was a huge supporter for the fanzine. He believed in what we've always tried to do. And over the years, he's played a huge part in how the magazine's evolved over the years. And most of all, he always believed in me. You know, he was always there for advice and guidance if I needed it. He absolutely loved West Ham. And I was so pleased, and I am so pleased, that he got to enjoy watching us win a trophy in Prague last year. It meant a huge deal to him, as he meant so much to the West Ham community. And I know there are many people out there that will, but I know from my perspective, I'm going to miss him sorely.
There you go. You're right. He used the word magazine, Nigel. Next up, friend of Nigel and myself, John Rutomsky. Look, we talked about Hugh and his love of socialism and you know, our connection with John goes back to the old days of the WISA, the West Ham United, West Ham United Independent Supporters Association, which John was on. And
do you know what? How can you struggle with that, considering me and you helped found
it? I know, we helped found it. I know. But John was on this, and you know, one of his pet projects while he was on it, and he was chairman for a while, was to have a food bank. And you know, we were, well, is that our biggest priority? And both myself and Nigel sort of challenged him. But it's something he was really passionate about. You know, he lives up by Chester. Where does he live?
Yeah, he's up by Chester.
And he travels down for every game. You know, he puts in so much effort. And, you know, and when I introduced him to Huey straight away wanted to publicise the food bank project to donate to it. And that's how those two met. So here's what John had to say.
It's John Rutomsky from Iron Supporting Food Banks. So sad to hear of Hugh's passing. I spoke with Hugh a few times. He was a big supporter of Iron Supporting Food Banks and would occasionally ask for activity updates for the website. He also used to make regular donations to the food bank. Rest in peace, Hugh, fellow Hammer.
Bless. Next up, someone else we both know and have known for many years, all three of us, and that's Leon Hyde. Used to be the DJ at Upton Park, used to do the warm-up act before this, you know, the latest guys have, and same time as Russie, but this is what Leon had to say.
Hi guys, how you doing? Sending this message for Hugh. What can I say about Hugh? He's he was definitely a character, bless him. One of a million, to be totally honest. When we started talking, it's when Hugh was on Twitter, and he loved Twitter back in the day. He didn't understand it, got very confused, didn't know what about it. I remember specifically that he tried to name the team that we was going to play one tweet, and it got it totally wrong, and he got absolutely roasted for it on Twitter, and he was like, he was coming off it, etc. But he got grips to it, and at the time I was floating around coming into the club, and I was close to the Sullivans, and I always remember that I gave David Sullivan the email for Hugh, and they started talking again, and gone on to do big things for West Ham and make a nice website. And around that time, I was talking to Sean, got to know Sean. I think it was around 2013-ish, around that time. So me and Sean become friends, and we all got very close talking to each other. We all got little bits of stories from other people in the club. Obviously, I was in the club at the time as well. We all become good friends. Hugh was very old school, and an absolutely lovely bloke. Recently, when I lost my best friend to mental health, if anyone's seen the video on social medias of Gary Billings, Hugh was the first one to ring me up and have a long chat with me and see how I was. And that went a long way for me. Always sent me things for my birthdays because he was a religious man as well. And it was, you know, if I put something on social media, if my mum wasn't well, because she dealt with OCP at the time and still does, and Hugh was always ringing me up and going, "How's your mum?" And yeah, we got close. And one of the biggest things that Hugh used to do for me was he used to give me his ticket. Bless him, he used to have a season ticket. Hardly never went, but he had a season ticket, and I used to have his ticket. He used to sit right on the halfway line, and the game that stands out was against Tottenham when Antonio scored, and we won 1-0, and Hugh let me have his ticket for the day, and it was just a lovely guy. And he, you know, he got a lot of crap on social media for his past, but if you got to know him, he was a lovely guy. Absolutely devastated he's gone. When I heard the news, I rang Sean up straight away. I was like, I can't believe it. And yeah, a top guy. He's going to be missed, very missed, by people at West Ham. And just doing, he loved Clouting Hugh. He loved it. He enjoyed it. He loved putting the stories out. He loved what was going on at West Ham. He loved West Ham to bits. Just very sad, really. And around that time, we all started talking, and everything, Twitter started going off. You had me. I didn't have a lot to know. I obviously got some contacts, but not massively. And then there was X, and there's Sean, and there's Hugh, and we was all having a little banter with each other, I'd probably say. And then we've all become good friends since. A sad loss to the West Ham family, and I just gutted, really, because what he used to do for me away from West Ham as well. So heartbreaking. But God bless you. Always a hammer. You're probably up there with Bobby Moore now saying that, "Oh, you remember when I done ghostwrited your book?" And having sitting there watching West Ham, and hopefully get us there to that final, Hugh. And the one thing that you would have loved us to do is a big ask. You never know with West Ham. We could win it and get in the Champions League. And I know that'll put a smile on your face. So God bless you. One out of a million, and hopefully Clouting Hugh continues in your memory. Good night, mate. God bless.
That's nice. Next up, we just got two more. Sam Ingersoll. You remember Sam, don't you, Nigel?
I do indeed.
And look, well, I've remained in contact with Sam as Hugh. You know, he left. I think he went off. Where did he go first? And then he certainly did the work for the Racing Post, and he's done a few other bits and pieces. But we've always stayed in touch. And although he wasn't a West Ham fan to begin with, it sort of comes that when you become a journalist for West Ham, you sort of it becomes your, you know, your second team, and you become a bit of a hammer. And he still follows West Ham to this day. So this is what Sam had to say.
Hughie became a really good friend of mine about 5 years ago now, when I was covering West Ham for Football London, which feels like a lifetime ago now. But yeah, so I used to speak with Hughie on a daily basis. We'd share information, we'd share stories. We'd also share racing tips as well. He loved his horses. In fact, only Tuesday before last, before the Cheltenham Festival, he was sharing me his Antipodes tips for the Cheltenham Festival. But yeah, when it came to West Ham, Hughie was a fountain of knowledge. He really helped me in my early days covering the club to get to know the history of the club. And yeah, he just became a really good pal. And yeah, I'm just so desperately sad to hear the news of his passing. I feel so sorry for all his family and friends, and I wish them all the strength in the world and all the best going forward, because I can imagine it's a very tough time. But yeah, all respect to Hughie. He was a really good man, a really good friend, and I'll miss him dearly.
Excellent. The next person I talk to is Gonzo, and those of you who don't know, Gonzo or Chris is his real name. He obviously is one half of Hammer's Chat and has a YouTube and Patreon site. But you know, when my work sort of took over and I could no longer give the time and effort to Clarence Hugh, and you know, a number of people work for Clarence Hugh, like Harry and Simon and various, but you know, Gonzo stepped in of late, in the last 6 months or a year, to support him doing his videos and now in the writing. And while Hughie's been ill, you know, Gonzo's been keeping Clarence Hugh going, with stories while Hugh was ill. So this is what Gonzo had to say.
What can I say about Hugh Southon? My mate Hugh, I've probably spoken to Hugh more than anybody else over the last few years. I speak to him every day and sometimes four or five times a day, depending on what was going on with West Ham, has to be said. By the time it finished, I was helping him on Claret and Hugh. But it wasn't a one-way relationship, far from it. It was actually Hugh that gave me a leg up in many respects to be able to do videos. We created Hammer's Chat a while before we started doing videos, but in 2016, we decided to do a YouTube channel. And Hugh basically gave me the platform to start doing videos on Claret and Hugh. And not only that, he actually introduced us to the club and David Sullivan, which enabled us for the final season at Upton Park to work closely with the club and the club's media team. And I think in that time, we managed to harvest some of the best footage that there is of the old ground, which I still got now. Remained a good friend, and particularly through pretty tough times for myself, the collapse of my business, some pretty heavy family issues as well during COVID. Hugh was there for me, not only morally supporting me, but also you basically offered me a bit of extra money. And it was very, very helpful, very useful at the time, because he knew I was trying to transition from being a plumber, which is what I was before, and a business which completely collapsed during COVID, to try and, you know, get some work doing West Ham stuff and doing videos and writing. And it was Hugh that gave me the chance, and I've never forgot it, really. And we've been good pals ever since. And irrespective of whether it was to do with West Ham or to do with what was going on in each other's, you know, private and personal lives, he was always there, always very, very supportive of me, very supportive of my family. And he was a really, really good bloke, a really good bloke. And if I could sum up one word, Hugh, it would be loyal. He was a loyal, loyal guy. And we didn't just talk about football. We talked about music, an awful lot about music. We talked about cricket a lot. We've quite a nice escape from West Ham, particularly when stuff was going terribly on the pitch. He had so many stories, particularly about Bobby Moore, but a lot of footballers as well. And it was only 3 weeks ago that Hugh tell me a story about David Beckham, which maybe I'll share another time. Perhaps now is not the time, but a very personal story because, of course, he was a Fleet Street sports reporter. He worked for so many of the top newspapers, that, you know, all the top newspapers that roll off people's tongues. They really do. He really did have a huge number of stories. And I think the thing with Hugh is I was always keen for Hugh to tell some of his stories and maybe archive some of them on video. But, he always used to say he didn't have a face for video. And we never got to the point where he actually recorded any of his tales. But he told me many of them, and I'm sure in time I'll share them. But he will be sadly missed by me. And he passed away on the Saturday. I'd spoken to him on the Friday and the Thursday, and all I can say is it was, even up until the Thursday, whilst he probably thought that, he was even saying to me, maybe this is a flu I'll recover from. It's very sad. I feel terribly sad for him, terribly sad for his daughter in particular, his grandchildren, who he played a massive part in all of their lives. All I remember about Hugh was a loyal man and a good friend, and he absolutely loved West Ham.
Yeah, very nice tribute from Gonzo. Interesting as he tells that, and I only told his daughter Katie this today. About 2 years ago, Huey started writing his memoirs, and he started writing a sort of autobiography. And he gave me a copy of it. It was unfinished. I think there was about four chapters, and you know, I think it was during COVID actually he decided to write it. So I said to Katie, his daughter, that you know, maybe we should publish that because and maybe he can fill in the blanks by talking to some of his friends, but we can publish his writings of some of his tales. Say, I'm going to ask Gonzo now about the David Beckham story. That's about it. We got one more, and that was, of course, our friend from Somerset, Nigel. Do you know who it is?
What, not anyone that are famous from Somerset. No, I can't think.
It's Dardsy.
Oh, Frankenstein's monster.
Well, it was really sad to hear the sad passing of Huey last week. And it brought back memories of when I met Huey. I only met him about a dozen times. But when I did meet him, he was always full of cheer and would always talk to me about the things dear to my heart as well as dear to his. He will be missed. The original board stooge, he divided the fan base with his content. He had a real way into Sullivan, which he obviously shared with a few others. And most of the information that Claret and Hugh gets is passed around other circles through social media. So he will be missed. I'd say a totally genuine guy who worked really hard on his one love, which was West Ham, and he will be missed. So he's now up resting with Bobby Moore, where he can ghostwrite for him yet again, which he was always very proud of. And hopefully those two get to meet and talk about the great days in West Ham's history. You will be missed, Huey. Rest in peace.
Wise words from Dodsey. There you go. So, look, it's just over an hour, and we just thought we'd give a little tribute in an international week. It'd be gutted to not know whether we won how we get on with the Europa League. For him, you know, we're still in Europe for a long time, although if, you know, with his beliefs, I'm sure he still believes in an afterlife, and that he's still be looking down and be hoping that there's a change of manager this summer. For me, I'll be missing talking to him on a regular basis and sharing stories and running things past him. But, you know, I like to remember the good things about Huey. You know, we had a lot of laughs on the way. I don't remember the good times and not the, you know, the times where we argued or we fell out, etc. You know, that was what made Huey, you know. And I hope he does rest in peace. I hope he's with Sandra and Bobby and everyone else. So, yeah, thanks for all you've done and being a friend for me, Huey, in life. And I hope you're in a better place now. Nigel, anything you want to say before we say goodbyes for this week?
No, that's it. It's just sad. It was, you know, it was a bit of a shock to see that.
It was, yeah. You know, it always comes as a shock, even though you know someone's ill and, you know, with their health, you think, well, you know, and he did. He didn't think, you know, he... For the last 5 years ago, this could be last. But you know what? He paid for his own funeral. He had a funeral plan. He set out it all. He's got details for Katie and what to do after he died and with his bank accounts and everything. He was very prepared. I mean, we could learn something from that. You know, not only have your will ready, but write things of how you access social media, how to access the phone. And he planned his funeral and paid for his funeral in advance. And maybe we could all learn from that. And do you know what? 80 years old, not bad innings. If I can make it to 80, I think I'll be pretty happy too. Anyway, that's all we have for this week. We'll be back next week after a game to discuss more football. Until then, come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.